Hunting seasons across the Bristol Bay area are pretty darned wide open right now, and in keeping with that, a lot of people are putting in a lot of time hunting. Tis the season to add some variety to the freezers and pantry shelves, to augment whatever you put in there from fishing this summer. The big ticket item, of course, is moose season, but there's any number of other species to consider, including caribou, bear, waterfowl, upland game birds, hares, and probably a number of others I'm not remembering right now. We live in a magnificent place that affords us the opportunity to adorn our diets with a variety of natural and much healthier food options. There are several steps in that process, from initial planning and list making well before season to all the delightful tasty meals that see us through the winter and into the next year, and all are or can be important steps in the process. Perhaps one step that can have one of the biggest impacts on what you put into your freezer and feed on for the rest of the year is meat care once the animal is down. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Proper care of meat before it makes it into a freezer is a bridge anyone who's successful is going to have to cross. And it's a happy bridge, even if it can mean an awful lot of work at the time. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. I don't consider myself an expert, but I've been dealing with game meat care over the course of my adult life, a good portion of which has happened in Alaska. It's one of those aspects of hunting that I'm always open to improving, whether that means learning new methods or becoming more efficient in the ones that I already utilize. As a bow hunter in Kansas, carob meat was a simple thing. Field dress the deer and then haul it to the local butcher to be made into any number of tasty edible options. My favorite was always summer sausage. Some folks processed their own, and my dad would make his own sausage from time to time, but a lot of people load it up and haul it off. No mess, no fuss. That was certainly how I dealt with mine. That's also an option in Alaska, for those on a road system and able to get their game to a butcher. I'm also guessing it's something a few people around rural Alaska do, as from time to time, someone will have hot dogs, for example, that they had done at such and such butcher in Anchorage or somewhere else on the road system. My own system is rather simplistic, with assigning cuts of meat into a small handful of categories. I like to have it trimmed well, cleaned off, and packaged in vacuum-sealed bags, sized according to what we like to use when we thaw it to eat. Some folks go it a few steps further in their own butchering efforts. For example, one of my coworkers makes some of the best sausages, brats, and hot dogs I've ever had, out of caribou and moose that he shoots. He also makes ham from them as well. As with many activities, how far you decide to go in the processing of your game meat covers a very large spectrum. But before you ever get a chance to practice your butchering skills, you need to be able to deal with the meat in the field, and that's something to think about ahead of time. Once in a while, I'll hear someone talk about a caribou or a moose that didn't taste good, or it was tough, or tasted gamey. Maybe they'll chalk it up to it being a rutting male or some other such reason. Certainly, the timing during the season can be a factor, as can be the species. For example, I've shot a fair number of caribou, but I've never shot a large bull during the peak days of the rut. I have talked to people who have. I have read accounts of hunters who did. From everything I've heard or read, there is no good reason to shoot a bull caribou during the rut, because the chance the meat's going to be bad is very, very high. I do think, though, that proper care in the field and prior to actually processing at home, or before you hand it off to a butcher, can make all the difference in the world. So, are you ready and able to deal with the meat in a responsible way once you harvest an animal? I've talked about this subject a bit in the past, and there are a lot of variables in play, such as the time of year, temperature, experience level of the hunter, location, how and where the animal was hit, and possibly weather factors as well. While all of those and others can play a role in how it's done, actual game meat care comes down to two things: keeping it dry and clean, and keeping the temperature down. Moisture and heat are your two biggest enemies between the kill site and the freezer. If it's late in the year and the temperatures are cooler, well, think frost at night. Time is much more on your side. Hanging meat and letting it age can be a very good thing that greatly enhances both flavor and tenderness. But the warmer temperatures of the early season typically demand a more accelerated approach to dealing with the meat. Your hunting approach is a big factor in this as well. If you're hunting and plan to simply get your animal into the boat and get it home, temperature probably isn't a very big deal. Frankly, next week I'll be hunting, and my plan will probably involve packing up and getting out of Dodge fairly soon after the bull is down, if I'm fortunate enough to find and harvest one. However, for other situations, more planning might be required. When I hunt for caribou in the fall, it's often still warm. As a part of my planning, I have poles to hang the meat from, good quality game bags, citric acid in abundance, and a tarp to put over it all to keep both the sun and rain off the meat. A quick word here about being prepared. I don't always harvest something when I go hunting, but I try to always be prepared for that to happen. It's a mental preparation thing for me that carries over to pretty much all of life. When I hunt, I expect to succeed. If I didn't, well, why bother going? I once read a quote from a famous bow hunter that stuck with me, related to this. He asked a buddy he was hunting with for the first time if he had game bags in his pack. The buddy expressed a mild level of surprise at the question and said, "Yeah, I've got game bags." After that, the famous bow hunter smiled and said, "Good. I don't hunt with people who don't carry game bags. They don't expect to kill anything." I've always thought there's a very good lesson in that story. Do you expect to succeed when you hunt? If so, plan for it. Back on the idea of being in the field when it's not getting frosty at night. Again, keep in mind, get it dry, keep it dry, and get it cooled off. Those are the two mandates you need to abide by. A rack to hang meat from is a good idea. You can use timber found on site. You can construct one and leave it up, if it's an annual spot on ground you own or you have permission to do so. When I caribou hunt on the Nishigek Peninsula, I take 2x2s, as there's really no timber down there in most spots. For float hunts, you can construct a frame across the raft upon which to lay the meat. Air circulation is the key, and whatever will make that happen is the way to go. I spray my game meat with citric acid. You can purchase citric acid from a number of places. Mine happens to be a $10 bottle from Amazon. I carry spray bottles to mix it in and to apply it to the meat. The citric acid does two things. It slows down the growth of bacteria that can spoil meat, and it also causes a hard crust to form on the meat that makes it harder for flies to lay eggs. The meat should be sprayed until the mixture begins to run down the side of the meat. I spray before putting game bags on the meat, but I'll also spray a bit on the bags. The acid discourages flies from landing. Game bags need to be of a good quality. Good quality generally carries a higher price tag with it. Some of the lesser quality bags are almost like a cheesecloth. They're very porous. Too much so, in fact, to keep bugs off. I tend to think that they're actually less than worthless because they lull inexperienced hunters into thinking they're good to go because a bag is on the meat, and that's most assuredly not the case. That's only true if the temperatures are too cold for flies to begin with. One of my favorite game bags, for caribou and smaller moose portions, are 20x40 cotton pillowcases. I found a site on eBay that targets hotels and sells them for basically a little over $1 per case. I have found these cases to be durable, reusable, and very much fly-proof, while allowing good air circulation. Whatever you use, don't ruin your meat by skimping on the bag you put on it once it's on the meat pole. Cool and dry is also helped along by covering the area from which it's hanging with a good tarp. Nothing fancy is required. Just make sure it covers everything, and it's secured well in the event of high wind. One other item I use, if I'm going to be any place for any length of time, that is, if I'm not going to be loading up and heading home fairly soon, is an electric fence around the meat. Folks have differing opinions on the effectiveness of such fences, but I'm sold on the idea they work, and so I put one around my meat pole or rack. Commercial fence kits can be bought from a number of sources and in varying sizes. I put my own together from parts cobbled together on eBay and Amazon. A good workable fence can be assembled for well under $100. It is my sincere wish that those who are listening who hunt, well, I hope you've already had success this fall. And for those who are still hunting, I'm pulling for you. We are just about to my favorite stretch of days and weeks on the calendar, and one of the truly great things about it is that we have the opportunity to put some really good things in our freezer. Taking care of it properly from the get-go will help to ensure that its quality will be top-notch. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.